Hello and welcome to the Mortgage and Real Estate Podcast by Pinnacle. My name is Chris Giannino, and I'm here with my brother, Pete Giannino. And we are also joined today by a very special guest, Michelle Locke, with Curated Properties, and just a good friend. I've known Michelle for many, many years, along with Pete. Let's just get right into it. Michelle, is it Michelle or is it Michelle? And because it has a different spelling, so it's a good time to ask you. Finally, get this off my chest. It's spelled M-E-C-H-I-L-L-E. How do you pronounce that?
It is Michelle. So my parents came up with that. It was very simple. My sister's name is Melissa, and oddly enough, people that don't even know I have a sister sometimes will call me Melissa. But that's how they came up with the spelling for Michelle. They wanted a M-E and a M-E. And when I was younger, I hated it. But being in the business world and sales, it is 90% of the time noticed and commented on.
Very good.
And people remember it, so.
Yeah, well, sweet. I'm glad we got that taken care of after.
Yeah, and I guess they just didn't like Melinda because they decided to just do a misspelling.
No, we love Michelle, but it's spelled wrong. What can we do?
Touché. A better story would be that, because I was born in the 70s, that, you know, my parents were high or something at that time.
It's probably both.
Yeah, a little of that.
But apparently the nurse argued with my mom or my dad and said, you cannot spell her name like that.
Mm. And she was right.
Yeah.
But you showed them.
Yeah, we did. That was a big press for Jeff City back in the day to spell Michelle Emmy.
Well, it is a distinguishing feature of you. So congratulations.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, originally.
P-E-T-E.
Right. Yes.
Boring.
Yeah. No joke.
We were heavy on the E's as well in our family.
Well, we met, it must have been probably 15 years ago, I would say.
Yeah, probably so.
We had a group that we called Pinnacle Group, and we would meet a couple times a month, and Anna Kozak, Anna Morello, back at the time, she was in it too. I wanted to have her on today too, but I think that would have been like a nice little Pinnacle reunion.
Yeah, it would.
But we'll do that another time. But it's great to have you on. I know you have been just ever since I've met you. You have been very impressive when it comes to just building relationships with people in a genuine manner, and
you have
a real sincere. Personality, you could tell you're very engaged with the people that you work with, and that goes with any industry. So when somebody approached me and asked if I thought you would be good in this industry, I immediately said, I already know she'll be incredible at it, just because you possessed all of those attributes that people want to be around, people want to work with, and you did that at a company, Office Essentials, where you worked with, and you're probably still involved with that company.
Yeah, still.
And I know you have a huge focus in real estate now. So thanks for taking time out of your day to join Pete and I. And now you've been in real estate for over 3 years.
Yeah. And thank you for the nice intro. Appreciate that.
Well, I speak the truth.
He does. If there's one thing he speaks, it's the truth.
Yeah. So, no, I appreciate you coming by. Let's just get right into it. Right now, we're in the end of January, and you and I have had some discussions off the mic where we were talking about individuals that were looking for a house to buy, and they may be at the top of their the top of what they can qualify for, and there's a difference on when you buy, especially if you're at the top of the market. I mean, we know it's been very competitive for a few years now, for a couple of years now at least. Mm-hmm. And this year is no exception. I know there's still bidding wars even in the spring or even in the winter right now. But what do you say to the people that are shopping at the top of their price point and they're trying to figure out if they should look for houses now or if they should wait till the spring to buy?
That's a good question. So primarily working with buyers, you know, everyone's circumstance is different. So those that have a tight budget and maybe, you know, every penny counts. I have a few tactics for those buyers. So one is, you know, always write. If you like the house and it checks all your boxes, I don't care if they're, you know, already have five offers, you need to write on that house if you like it. Because if you don't write, you're never going to get a home. So that's one thing. And I suggest to buyers, too, that we look at homes maybe that have been sitting, you know, 15 to 30 days or didn't sell right away over the weekend, as long as it checks their boxes.
And you're saying that because they can't, if it's multiple offers, yeah, if it's competitive and they're already, mm-hmm, at the top of the range, there's no way they're going to be able to compete for that house.
It's, yeah. I mean, I never want to discourage someone from writing an offer unless we just know it's, you know, not even close. You're not even going to be close. Then why waste your time? But, you know, again, I do what the client asks. But, yeah, it's hard for some to be competitive. And we just have to find ways, like off-market opportunities. I would say on a weekly basis, I'm seeing off-market opportunities, which means it's not in the MLS. It's not active. And I find those word of mouth talking to other agents, or it's in withheld status and only those at my brokerage can see those. That means they might be coming on the market soon, or the client's willing to sell it but not put it out there on the market.
Well, okay. And one more thing on that note, mm-hmm, then. Would you recommend, all right, so I'm approved for, mm-hmm, let's say I'm approved for $250,000. I pretty much can't go for $251,000. But I think I want to wait for maybe rates to drop, or I want to wait for the spring when more inventory might be available. I would come from the belief that your chances of winning a contract now, mm-hmm, in January, February, early March would be more likely than it would be if you were to compete in that same price range, mm-hmm, when there is more inventory, perhaps. However, a lot more people are in the market to buy as well. I think my point being, I feel like if you're in the market for a house, there's no reason to put on the brakes. You could always take a look at the inventory. You don't have to take action if you don't see a house you like, but there's no reason to just halt.
No, I agree with you, yes. And I've reached out to several of my buyers that I know that have a tight budget, and it'll be very difficult to compete in that spring market. So we have been, you know, out looking every week. I just got someone under contract over the weekend. It was the perfect scenario. Been on the market for, you know, over 30 days. And, you know, he moved quickly and he got the house. I have a few other buyers that were trying to get under contract before the end of February and March. Mm-hmm. Just a matter
because of that reason.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. The competition. So, you know, some people can keep up with it, and others, you know, it's a little tougher. You might have to write 3-4 offers, you know, before you get the one.
Again, we're visiting with Michelle Locke of Curated Properties. Is that right? You mentioned your brokerage.
Keller Williams.
Yep.
Team is Curated Properties, and Haley Tomaszek, as you all both know, Haley Tomaszek.
Yes.
She's our founder. She's my mentor. She is a rock star. Something unique about our team and how we work together. So I mentioned I primarily work with buyers. We found a good balance. So Haley, and this doesn't, I think this doesn't necessarily work for all of our clients where we kind of split up the list side by side, but sometimes it makes sense, you know, if we're busy, at a busier time, Haley will work on the list side and I'll work on the buy side with that client. When you're working with buyers, you're out and about more. It's more time consuming. So it might make sense if someone's selling their house and buying at the same time. We just have a good system with that, where a team works out.
That's clearly the case. You know, we've had good, great experiences with your team. And does Haley know that you've, you're pushing this like it, write it slogan now. I like it. I created that slogan for you, by the way.
Oh. Yeah, I
you
like said, that.
If you like it, then write it.
Oh,
right?
I didn't know that. But
Merry
you
Christmas.
Know what? I feel like that is something that Haley taught me, and I didn't know that came from you.
Well, no, I'm just
specifying.
I wrote it down because you said it, and I want you to take credit for it.
It's a new hashtag that will be used.
Let me ask you about that. You kind of said, if you like the property, let's write it. And you know, they're competitive, and maybe your buyer's in the game, so to speak. But mm-hmm. Is there something about going through that experience as a buyer? You know, buyers do get rejected these days, and mm-hmm. because they're in competition. But what about that experience if you're going through that process of writing an offer and then losing out on one? Tell me about the psychological aspect of that you deal with buyers, and then you know, how everyone's different, but what's the approach to writing that next one?
Yeah. You know, one thing I do in the buyer consultation is talk about expectations. And I feel like since I got into this industry, it has been competitive for buyers. And Haley taught me in the very beginning expectations. So we talk about how it might take 3 to 5 offers before you have an accepted offer. So we go through that, not to say that when someone writes, and even though they've mentally prepared themselves, when you love a house and you're waiting, you know, a day or two to get the final results from the listing agent, it's very emotional, and you're already sitting and thinking about what your plans and what you're going to do in the backyard. I mean, that's what happens. I know I've done that when you know, I've bought a house. I'm already, you know, thinking about what I'm going to do.
It's emotional. You're in.
Yeah. So I just have to remind myself, because this is just completely different type of sales from the B2B sales that I've been in for 22 years. This is this is personal. This is emotional. This is your money. It's your family. It's your... are just getting started if you're a young professional.
It can be months or a year before people find a house these days.
Yeah.
And that's only the start of it. Then they have 30 mm-hmm. to 45 days of just some chaos, you know, trying to do your inspections, going through the negotiation in connection with that, getting your loan fully approved, and then making it, going through that final walkthrough and hoping that everything that you negotiated has been satisfied. So the emotional aspect of it, there's high joy and elation, and then there's disappointment and frustration, right?
And it all moves so fast. So you can get a no on a Monday, and then as the buyer, you know, you have to start the process all over again, fall in love with the house, you know, hopefully get the accepted offer or be rejected, and then start all over. So I have to remind myself that, hey, this how that buyer's thinking, and just be supportive and, you know, let them know, hey, we're going to go out. The right one's going to come along. And when it's meant to be, it's meant, and just be their biggest cheerleader and support, because what they're going through emotionally, you know, it's tough.
I remember when we lost the house, my wife was crying like we had death in the family. But
I've had buyers
3 weeks later, you find the right place.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to find it. But I mean, I've had buyers have to check out and be like, we're not doing this weekend. We're not talking about, you know, and I just back off and, you know, say, hey, when you're ready, you let me know.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And we're, like Pete said, we're with Michelle Locke. We're in the lobby of the Chase Park Plaza. Mm-hmm. This place is beautiful. We had a meeting here this morning, so we figured we'd just continue with the Mortgage and Real Estate Podcast here as well. So thanks for meeting us up here. When you're, a lot of people ask the question these days, is right now the right time to buy a house? Mm-hmm. And I think...
absolutely right now.
No, and well, it really is. If you're in the market for a house and you're coming up with that question, as long as you're prepared to buy a house and you want shelter, then it probably is the right time. What I think a lot of people don't realize is sometimes when you move or you purchase a home, it doesn't have to be this totally permanent change in your life. I mean, you can change things up as long as you're working with the right professionals in your corner. Your mom, for example, mm-hmm. Can you tell that story a little bit? Because she made some, in her later years, she made some drastic changes in her life and mm-hmm. was able to, had a lot of life changes, moved from state, from one state to another state, then, you know, nothing is set in stone. Things mm-hmm. can be, you can adapt and be agile with the circumstances. What happened with her, with that story, to show people that are listening, like, you know, you might need a change. This might not, may or may not be your forever home. Circumstances change, and we could help you change along with that. What did she deal with in her move? Was she in Hawaii?
So her and her husband were in Hawaii, and you know, he was becoming sick with his diabetes, which is what kind of prompted them to move here. The you know, hospitals aren't fantastic there, and obviously in St. Louis, more resources. So that kind of prompted their move to St. Louis. So, you know, they were fortunate enough to be able to rent a furnished apartment here while they looked. They had sold their home in Hawaii, and it was a very hot market there. And so, you know, they were able to.
They did okay.
They did great. Yeah. Although she tells me now, she's like, gosh, if we would sell it now, it would be worth this.
Oh,
and I'm
of
like,
course.
Well,
yeah.
you know, you right. needed to move at the time.
Take so, what you got. Yeah. Yeah.
She's just funny like that. So they came here and, you know, I helped them find a home. And then unfortunately, you know, probably within 3 months, I think it was, you know, he passed away. So here she was with this huge house out in Lake St. Louis, beautiful house. And, you know, it just wasn't going to work for her after.
How long was she there?
She was there, let me say 2 years. About
okay.
2 years.
So yep. went to Hawaii, then went to temporary space that's furnished, then finally found their house in Lake mm-hmm. St. Louis, moved into it, mm-hmm. lived there.
Yeah.
There was a death in the family. She had to say, hey, I have this, I can't be here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then what?
So then we start looking for, you know, a smaller home that made sense, something a little closer to myself and my daughter and more central area. So we were out one day, and we were at a house, and she really liked it. But I'm thinking, okay, this is a two-story house, needs a lot of updates. I know my mother. She's going to move in here, and she's going to hate it. So as far as the decorating.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, she's going to end up, you know, having to put a lot of money in it to get it the way she wants cosmetically. So I'm sitting there as she's looking through the house, and I look at what's around, and I'm like, oh, well, here's a ranch home right down the street in the same neighborhood. And I know that listing agent. So I'm like, Mom, let's go check out this house down the street. And so we went over there, and she's just gushing from the minute we walk in.
That's great.
And I knew the minute we walked in, this is the house that is perfect for my mom. So we went ahead and we put in a nice aggressive offer that day, and they accepted. And, you know, it had just hit the market. It was in a pretty competitive time too, but she went all for it, and she loves the house. In fact, she just got back from Florida. And she was gone during the time where we had the really cold.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
mm-hmm.
know about you all, but I had a pipe freeze.
Right.
But luckily didn't bust. But she gets home, and she's like, everything's perfect in the house. I love this house.
Oh, you know? That's good to hear. So she went from four. She, in a span of 3 years, she went four different spots.
Yeah.
Because of different life changes that have occurred.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and you can do that. You can do that if you have the right professionals in your corner that can mm-hmm. navigate you through what seems to be a tremendously emotional and stressful experience.
Mm-hmm.
You could limit that and just do what needs to be done to get yourself in the place that you want to be
mm-hmm.
just by focusing on the end result, which is what your mom did. But I thought that yeah. was a story that all of us will encounter at one way or another in our lives. And real estate is a big part of that, and being able to manage the emotions and get the job done at the same time is a huge part of real estate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great example, because it not only we didn't even really touch on the too much of the emotions involved in the real estate. Of course, your mom had a lot of other emotions she was dealing with throughout all that. And then, you know, you compound that with the emotions of the transactions, the many transactions. So spectacular work on your part there.
Oh, well.
You know, taking care of mom. So speaking of mom, tell us a little bit about your background, you know, where you're from, and what got you to where you are today?
Oh, gosh. Well,
I mean, other than driving here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Chase
and paying
$25
to park.
Yeah, yeah, right. They're proud of their parking here.
No question. So I grew up in Jefferson City, and I still have family there. Very small town. But, you know, growing up in a small town, you know, has its advantages. And when I graduated from high school, I knew I didn't want to stay, but I wasn't really academically, I just not a good student. So a four-year university, I knew wasn't for me. My parents knew that, but my mom found the school. My mom has always loved St. Louis, and came here a lot as a kid growing up just to go to Six Flags or baseball games, whatever. So she found the school, Patricia Stevens College.
Oh, yeah.
It was an all-girl school.
Right up your alley.
We had to we had a wardrobe restriction. We had to wear pantyhose.
Oh, my. Sounds warm.
Nude pantyhose.
You don't get that much these days.
No.
We couldn't even wear pants.
I can't remember the last time I saw pantyhose.
Yeah.
Last time I was doing laundry on Wayne Drive, seventh grade. Those are tough to fold.
Yeah.
They really are. I don't think they're intended to be folded.
Yeah, balled up.
I actually have a funny pantyhose. Oh, not panty, sorry, pantyhose.
Can we do this on air?
With a friend. Like, I want to say it was 10 years ago.
Turned the volume up.
I gotta change this to explicit.
About 10 years ago, this is probably the small town in me. I don't know. But about 10 years ago, my friend was picking me up to do something. And it was cold out. It was, you know, probably this time of year. And I had a skirt on. And I walk outside and she goes, "Are you wearing pantyhose?" And I'm like, yeah, I am. We still laugh about that. But I never wore pantyhose again.
The tone of her question told you all you needed to know about your decision that day.
Now they're called leggings.
Yes. Yeah. It's tights would have even been more appropriate.
Now, I think people just did away with the skirts, seemingly. And just now all they do is Lululemon made a whole business out of pantyhose.
Glorified pantyhose.
Right. And put a little emblem on the back and call it pants.
Yeah.
Well, when we're talking about...
Well, it kind of got off track
not
there.
Not really. You just reminded me of something else, all this pantyhose talk. But when you...
It's the first time we've referenced pantyhose on this podcast.
I thought I could get away with it. It was so cold out, but yeah, she was not having it.
That's hilarious. Well, when real estate, I mean, not only on the buyer side, though, or the seller side, the stress... There is stress in every industry, but, you know, like, there's a lot at stake. People have a mover lined up. They have everything packed. They're planning on moving in a week. There's still some things up in the air on a transaction, perhaps. Like, lots of things have to go right, and everybody has to do their part. So, as an agent in that transaction, sometimes, you know, you could have built up stress as well. Talk to me about hot yoga and how that translates into maybe stress relief. I don't know, because every time I talk to you, you're always just walking out of hot yoga or something. Is that what's that?
So, well,
I mean, is it like wrestling practice? So, they just crank up the heat and you do yoga or what?
So it's hot works, and you can do different things. So
it's called hot works?
Hot works. So you're basically in these private sauna rooms. And now they hold up to three people at a time, but it's just common courtesy that someone does not schedule with you unless it's a friend or someone you know, that if there's, you can see if, how many slots are booked, and it's just kind of common courtesy. Like, hey,
right.
You don't come and plot. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I did a hot stretch a few weeks ago with two of my friends in that sauna, and, you know, we made it work, but yeah. with two strangers, it would have been just really awkward. But anyway, yeah. So that's a good, it's a good stress reliever. And, you know, on the weekends, like I might go during the day or, but on weeknights, you know, I might go at 6, just depending on when the day ends, you know, 4:45 or whatever, but you can book those classes.
And what are you doing? It's just, you're just doing what
you can cycle. You can do a Pilates class. You can do the row. You can lift weights.
That the equipment is available in the sauna?
Aside from the weights. So like the cycles, they're in a sauna. You can go up to, I think, 130. Yeah. It's, you have to get used to it.
You toasty. Need some sort of outlet in this industry.
You really do.
To just yep. get yeah. yourself in the right state.
Yeah. People, know. It's so funny. People think that this is like a glamorous job that you set your own hours.
Granted, we're in the chase, but still.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
you know,
county.
But we're talking,
we're
you know,
in velvet.
This is, yeah.
speaking of glamorous, do real estate agents still do the glamour shot photos? That was a thing, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Bring him back. Remember Joni, our aunt?
Oh, my
aunt
God.
Joni? She had the best glamour shot.
You couldn't even fit all the hair in the photo.
The biggest yeah. white hair you'll ever see.
Oh, I think my senior picture was like that.
But that is a... The photos, yeah. I mean, then you meet mm-hmm. the people, and you're like, well,
they,
oh,
now
that's
I've
happened
noticed they're a little
then.
More casual, but yeah. I mean, you want to have a good photo.
Do you use photos, like, for your... Yard signs or...
We don't. Yeah. Haley and I don't. Yeah. We don't advertise on, you know, billboards and bus benches right. or, yeah. you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Do people use bus benches still?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I've seen some, but anyway, I mean...
Most of your work is from word of mouth
yeah,
and referral, I would say.
Exactly. So, you know, social media, referrals from past clients or, you know, friends, family.
You stay busy.
Yeah. 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 Well, you know, that's the goal.
Right.
So I'm getting ready to list my house, maybe. Let's think about that. I'm not, but let's say I'm a potential home seller mm-hmm. and I'm thinking about listing my house in the spring. When do you want to talk to that person? And what is talked about behind the scenes with maybe you and Haley or you mm-hmm. and your team before or after that appointment in preparation for it?
So the first thing I would do is ask you what's motivating you to move and your timeline. And I think that, you know, I would want to have the discussion with you and get the details the moment you told me. But are you planning to move and why?
Exactly. No, those are good questions. I mean, and also, like, don't paint the walls brown when they don't need to be painted at all. Or
well,
paint them light.
I was going
to
ask that question. Is it always the case for people considering a listing that they're going to be bombarded with a list of to-dos before that house is listed?
Not necessarily, no. You know, Haley and I are good about going and we walk through the house with the client and discuss, like, you know, the age of the systems and the roof and get the layout and ask about and note any updates they've done. However, I would say the two things that I would focus on to get your house ready is painting. Just a fresh coat of agreeable gray paint throughout the entire house.
Agreeable
Haley,
gray,
Haley like loves agreeable gray.
So that's number
actually,
one.
Yeah. It's so, just a nice neutral color.
And what's your second thing?
The floors. I mean, if you have carpet in the bedrooms or throughout, if you know, it's not in terrible shape, just a nice carpet cleaning. Just have a company come in, steam the carpets.
Do you have resources for that for people? I mean, I'm not asking you mm-hmm. to plug them, but that's the kind of thing you can...
Absolutely.
Come to you, get that information, get that done.
Yeah. Sure. Any repairs that need to be done around the house, I mean, that, you know, we have plumbers, handymen. Hmm.
Well, that's half the battle. It's hard these days to have somebody who knows what they're doing come out and actually get the job done at a reasonable price.
Yeah. And we have resources that Haley and I have used ourselves that we have built relationships with, and we know they're reliable, you know, even when it comes to, you know, during the inspection period, if you need, you know, sewer so looked you, at or...
You just did a complete gut of your kitchen.
Yes.
And that's a big thing that a lot of people want to do. First of all, it's very expensive. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you're displaced out of your kitchen, mm-hmm. Things that you take for granted all of a sudden are out of your life for months. What do you mm-hmm. say? What are two bullet points that you can give to somebody mm-hmm. who's considering a renovation like that mm-hmm. to consider?
Number one is whomever you're going to hire, just do your research and make sure that they have a reputable company and they're licensed. And I think it's a great idea, and I do this for myself. I want to use anyone that does service at my house. I want to use someone who I know has used them, or multiple people. I that's just how I operate. I wouldn't just pick up the phone and call someone to come into my home and start a job like that, especially.
How do you keep the dust down? What do you replace your oven with when you need to cook something?
I got
to
tell you something. That was the worst part of it, is how disgusting. And it's, my house is small. It's a small brick bungalow in Webster. I mean, you know, we didn't have a lot of space. Luckily, we had the downstairs, and, you know, we could set up air fryer, coffee maker was in my room. I kind of liked that, it was a mess, and you have to be able to deal with it. But so after everything was complete, I did have a professional company come in and clean my air ducts. And they showed me, and again, this was a company that a good friend of mine, in fact, it was the person who made fun of my pantyhose.
Oh, gosh. This story keep resurrecting.
So it was one of her clients. She does marketing, and, you know, she recommended this company, and they did a fabulous job, and they showed me pictures of before and after. If you do a home renovation, I highly recommend you get your air ducts cleaned afterwards. And this is something that you don't have to do often. In fact, my HVAC company told me that, you know, you don't want to clean your air ducts all the time. So, but definitely after a renovation like that.
Oh, why not all the time?
I don't know. I guess it's not necessary.
If anybody knows what they're talking about, it's the air duct people. I mean, for them to tell you not to do it, there's got to be something to that. But maybe it's just not necessary, like you said.
I mean, so, you know, and I know that people ask about that a lot. And I did read something on, you know, if you feel like you have mold issues in the air ducts. But you really just want to consult with a professional, and I'm not a professional. But
no one would confuse you with that.
No.
Well, okay, so let's switch gears for just a second. So on a personal note, one thing that most people have been touched by at some point in their lives, some more than others, is a sickness or just of loved one or a close member. Nothing's hits more home than when it's a child. Your daughter, you had experience with your daughter where she had cancer, and you guys had to go through a journey, and you had to juggle work and life and keeping your mind right. And you have another child that needs attention during that time frame. So, like, just for the people listening, because I know this is something important that has or is going to happen to a lot of us. Can you speak to that and how you manage that being, you know, being a working mom?
Yeah. So my daughter, she's healthy now. She's a nurse and now a mother. When she was 23, it was the day before her 24th birthday. She was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it was an aggressive breast cancer. we found out that she, well, we knew that the BRCA1 gene ran in her dad's side of the family. So we knew that she was at risk of having the BRCA1 at the time. I don't know if this has changed, but insurance, you know, would pay for you to be tested, but at the age of 25. So she wasn't 25 yet, so it wasn't really standard to get that testing done. She was just doing a self-exam one day and noticed a lump, went to her gynecologist, and they looked at it, and they're like, well, you know, we're going to investigate only because you could be, we didn't know at the time she was, but could be a carrier of the BRCA1 gene. So they sped some things up, and they sent her to get tested early, and we got it approved. And, I mean, this all that happened, like, we had to wait. Like, I think between waiting to see if she had the BRCA1 gene, to then go further with finding out if it, you know, what was going on with the questionable area, we had to, you know, go through a waiting period. So we found out she did carry the BRCA1. At that point, the doctors dug deeper into, you know, the lump that she found. Then 2 weeks after that, you know, she was diagnosed. So because of her age, she was a bit fortunate on things being sped up.
How old was she?
So 24. Diagnosed at 23, the day before her 24th birthday. And, you know, she went through everything. She had chemo. She lost all her hair. She took it like a rock star. I am still amazed at how strong she was going through all that.
How long ago was this, Michelle?
So this was about 5 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So, she went through it all, had the double mastectomy and reconstructive surgery, and then had to go back again. I mean, it was radiation, wow, too. So it was a year of, you know.
I mean, it just seems like it has to be one of those things that is all encompassing as far as your thoughts throughout a day. You would get your mind off of it, but you have to at times. But got to be one of the most difficult things that there is.
I mean, honestly,
to try and live your everyday life.
The way she handled it helped me the way my mind. If she would have, you know, had different emotions about it, it would have affected me more. You know, no one wants to see. I don't care how old they are. No one wants to see their child suffer. You know, I think we're all like that with our kids, and whether they get hurt on the soccer field or
feelings. I think the story, you know, outside of the emotions, which that's almost foolish to even say, but it is accompanied by a message, right? When you're 23, is not too young to be considering that and evaluating yourself, and, you know, making sure that you don't have any issues, for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, I know I should even be better about that and getting mammograms. And, you know, so it, sometimes my friends, you know, hearing them talk about, oh, I'm scheduled for this, scheduled for that. It's like, okay, I need to do that. I think as women, we just need to remind each other. Yeah, it really. Well, but she's doing great.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I know, you know, it's tough when you're working and doing and everything else, and all you want to do is be with your daughter, helping her out, and other things have to be done. So, you know, just do what you have to do to keep yourself in the right state so you could help those that are close to you. And if you need to get checked out for something and you haven't in a while, I think the message is to, if you're thinking about it, just go do it.
Yep.
Yeah. Male or female.
Right? Exactly. Well, you know, it comes back to what we talked about earlier about if you need to take action, take it right away. And we've kind of talked about action in the real estate context on this podcast many times. And, you know, we started about 20 or 30 minutes ago talking about if you find something that you like, then write on it.
Yes. And yeah, absolutely. And you had asked also, one of you asked about, should I do it now? And right now, you know, before we hit that spring market, this is a great time. Take advantage. I mean, you know, we're a bit limited on inventory, but hey, I just got somebody. He was actually my first client. I just got him under contract over the weekend. He reached out at the right time. You know, he was ready. He was prepared. And
you don't mean it was your first client over the weekend. It's your
no. Sorry. Yeah. My first client when I got into real estate. Thank you for clarifying that.
I was just about to give you a great plug about, you know, if anyone wants to reach out to Michelle. Now everyone thinks wow, what a rookie.
No, thank you. See, words. The end words matter. So he was my first client when I got into real estate. I got licensed 3 years ago, joined Curated Properties within a couple months, and he bought a plot of land, and within the next year, he sold a house. So Haley and I listed that, and then he reached out to me last week and said, hey, I'm looking at these houses, and let's go see them. And he narrowed it down, and we got him under contract.
How long was that house on the market?
A little over 30 days, 30 to 40 days, maybe.
Gotcha. Well, it sounds like he's paying a little bit too much on his interest rate, but that's no big deal. Pete, what were you going to say?
I just had one. What is there a specific geographic area that you devote yourself to?
No, I not really. So I am in the city, South County. I'm in pretty much everywhere in St. Louis County. Well, and then in St. Charles County,
yeah, it sounds
too,
like so. You've dealt with Lake St. Louis. We already talked
anywhere,
about it.
Anywhere, okay. Yeah. I guess basically to answer your question, anywhere from Lime to Lake St. Louis.
All right, keep it with the L's.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
We'll have to do this again, you know, whenever. Next couple weeks, we could just jump on the mic and get another update on the progression of the market as we approach March, April, May, mm-hmm. and beyond, trying to make it a prosperous 2024. Rates have been up, they've been down all around. They're still at a decent spot. They're, you know, seven or below. And I mean, you know, might as well go to that whole old school talk. But when I bought my house, my first house, which I think was in 2006. The interest rate was 6.25%, and that was a good rate. I mean,
yeah,
they've only been.
I think my first house, I was at 7.5.
Mine was 8% in 1998 for a 15-year.
Oh,
and I don't know, but the loan amount was $24,000 too.
Oh,
I think that might have something to do with it.
Huge down payment.
Yeah, a $6,000 down payment.
Okay, but that was a great house. Two doors down from Wilson and Marconi.
Great house.
So the first house I bought was in South City, Murdoch and Macklin.
Oh, gosh.
$98,000.
I like it.
Yeah, I was in South City as well. Scanlon.
Boy,
Scanlon
we all
and
have,
Ivanhoe.
We have supported the city.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes. Love South City.
Absolutely.
Well, very good. Well, let's wrap it up then. And then Michelle Locke, Curated Properties, easy to find. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You do great work. And then we'll catch you on the next time.
Thanks.